Yo, what's up? Shadano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by Progressive Insurance. All our guests appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Tim Kirkjian! Yeah, baseball's back, baby! Opening day! Tim Kirkjian's going to join us in less than 20 minutes at 10:15. Clint Yates for his weekly Thursday appearance at 10:40. And I was told O'Shea Jackson Jr. wanted to talk to me, so he's going to stop by, allegedly, at 11:30. We'll find out. By the way, cover all your bases because it's opening day with Straight Talk Wireless. Get the same network as the big boys, but pay only up to 50, or pay up to 50% less. Get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data and 2G for $45 a month. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. So I don't know about you, but I feel more whole than I have been in a long time. And the reason I would say that is, and maybe it's just because of what I do for a living. Maybe it's because I just have always grown up loving sports. Maybe it's because what we've endured the last 4+ months has been not ideal. And look, terrifying in some ways. And even, you know, obviously very sad, right? In a lot of ways too. Not just the pandemic, you know, dealing with, you know, people dying, whether it's via the pandemic or the social unrest that we've had, right? Like, it's been a rough time. And it doesn't mean that those things are gone, right? Those are all things we're still focused on, as we should be each and every day. We should be focusing on social justice. We should be focusing on wearing your damn mask, right? We should be focused on trying to beat this pandemic, or at least put it in a position where we can try to get a slice of normalcy back. Actually, more than a slice. I'd like the whole pie as soon as possible. But we need to do a better job. But this, what we're getting today, and even what we got yesterday to some extent, is a slice of normalcy in our lives. Basketball was back yesterday. The NBA scrimmages were on. I literally watched every single one of them. All 5 scrimmages that were on TV yesterday. I watched every single one of them. And I was just excited. I felt more whole than I had been in a long, long time, having real sports, like guys actually playing sports on my television live. And I feel good about the NBA bubble. I feel like they are probably going to get this thing done. Now, there'll be moments where I'm sure things will come up. Guys could test positive. Guys get tired. People get tired. It's why the pandemic surged again, I believe, in for a number of reasons. But specifically, I think people get tired of following the rules. And I think we learned you got to follow the rules. And hopefully in the NBA bubble, they follow the rules. Hopefully in Major League Baseball, they follow the rules. And everything works itself out. But we should be excited today because you're going to get a slice of normalcy back. You're going to get Major League Baseball back in games that count. The Dodgers are going to try to win a championship for the first time since 1988. They have the best team in baseball. You should absolutely be excited about that today. They signed one of the top 2 players in the sport, officially. You should be excited about that. Today, for once, and it's been a long time since we've had a good day. Today is supposed to be a good day, and you should feel that way. Because you know what? When I listened to Mookie Betts yesterday, Laura played both cuts back-to-back. He certainly felt that way.
It's obviously a special day, kind of what I've been working for my whole life. I've been a part of this, everybody's been a part of this whole thing. This is the day that we've been dreaming about, and for it to come true is definitely a blessing. Super happy to be a part of this organization. I am who I am. I don't want to be any more than who I am, and you know, it's set an example, then it's set an example, and it's, you know, it's kind of falling in line, then it's falling in line. I'm not really overly concerned with having to step in and be a leader now. I'm here to win some rings, bring some rings back to LA. That's all I'm focused on.
You heard that last part? He's there to win some rings. Rings, plural. And that's what's exciting today. That is what should make you feel like you're tingling today, despite the fact we're dealing with a pandemic, for one day, and maybe even longer, right? You'll get that feeling of, hey man, I've got something else I can focus on other than the numbers of the pandemic climbing. You know what I'm saying? Just for a second. And it doesn't mean you're taking your eye off the important stuff, like the pandemic, like social justice, but it means you also have something else to kind of take your mind off of stuff. Because let's face it, all of us need a breather every once in a while. We've talked about this for 4+ months that, you know, after a while, your news consumption has to go down. Your social media consumption has to go down because it feels like a lot of bad news. Well, for one day today, the news isn't going to be bad. It started yesterday with Mookie Betts and the signing. Basketball was back. That helped. The scrimmages were going on. And today is opening day in Major League Baseball. And that should feel good. And as far as the Dodgers are concerned, they finally chose their centerpiece. Right? Like, they've had these core players that they've held on to. Cody Bellinger, who they could have traded away at one point. Right? Remember? Chris Sale? They wanted Cody Bellinger. Walker Buehler could have been dealt in previous deals. They held on to him because they knew he'd be a centerpiece, right? Julio Urias also could have gone. Urias could have gone in that White Sox deal for Chris Sale, right? Corey Seager, there was talk about trading him and maybe signing Francisco Lindor. But no, Andrew Friedman waited for the right guy. Not just any guy, the right guy. And I've told you this before. Andrew Friedman is the smartest guy in that sport for a reason. You've ever heard of the saying, patience is a virtue? It is. There's a reason that that saying is true. And Andrew Friedman has shown the right amount of patience, the president of the Dodgers. And I'll tell you this, being calculated and measured, those are also traits of successful people. Successful people generally don't do things on a whim. It's not to say that it never happens, but generally successful people, when they're building their success, when they're trying to stack their successes upon successes, what they do is they take their time. What they do is they size up the situation. I was just talking about the NBA a second ago. Remember Rob Manfred? He was the first one out there, interviewed with Scott Van Pelt. We're going to be the first sport back. Baseball's going to do it right. We're not going to have any speed bumps. Everyone's on the same page. We're all pulling the rope in the same direction. None of that was true. I mean, they weren't the first sport back either, because the MLS was, at least of American team sports. And it was a mess to get to this point for Major League Baseball. But do you know who was measured? Do you know who was calculated? Do you know who sized up the situation? Adam Silver did. Adam Silver also did his due diligence. Adam Silver got the sign-off from the CDC and Dr. Fauci and created a 113-page manual. Because that's what real successful people do. Is they take their time. And Andrew Friedman, the president of the Dodgers, building this organization, has taken his time. And now the team is ready. The team is ready to be the best team in baseball. In the past, over the last several years, you could make the argument they were the best team in baseball. Right now, I don't even believe there is an argument. The Los Angeles Dodgers are the best team in baseball, hands bleeping down. And you should enjoy it, enjoy every second of it. I know it's scary because there's a 60-game sprint and crazy things happen in baseball in a 60-game sprint, but you should be absolutely elated that you have a guy in Andrew Friedman building your franchise. And I know there's been some moments where you're like, well, why didn't he sign Manny Machado? Or why didn't he trade for Chris Sale? Or why didn't he do this? Or why didn't he do that? This is why. Because he was doing his due diligence. Because he was calculating. These are the guys that could become available. He was sizing up the market as time went by. And now he has built the team. Not only that can win this year, but can win for many years to come. And you should be unbelievably excited about that. Now, this deal with Mookie Betts, obviously is great for Mookie Betts. Like, there's no question about that. And it's great for the Dodgers, too. Here's our Jeff Passan, ESPN MLB insider, on how the deal benefits both sides.
Both sides benefit from it. The Los Angeles Dodgers want to win championships. 7 consecutive National League West titles, 2 World Series losses, and when they traded for Mookie Betts from Boston this offseason, it was to add him to a core that includes Cody Bellinger, that includes Walker Buehler, and Dustin May, and Corey Seager, and Will Smith. You can go on and on about the talent, and that is why Mookie Betts was comfortable signing this deal and taking himself to age 40. He wants to be in Los Angeles. He was comfortable with the Dodgers. It is the second biggest contract in baseball history. And amid the pandemic, there were concerns that free agent dollars weren't going to be what he had hoped. Well, he didn't have to go to free agency to get paid. He got it from the Dodgers.
Yeah. So there you have it. I think I'm going to make some bold predictions right now. Mookie Betts and Cody Bellinger will both finish in the top 5 in MVP voting this year. I think one of them can win it and probably will win it. I think the Dodgers are going to run roughshod over the West. I think they're going to win, out of the 60 games, they're going to win over 40. I believe they're going to win 40-plus games, and they're going to absolutely dominate the National League this year. And again, they've got not only the deepest team, but super versatile with that depth. And they've been unlucky at times in close games, right? We saw the bullpen early last year be an issue. 2 years before that, they had that tough start to the season. They've overcome a ton of adversity. And a lot of the guys that have overcome that adversity are still on this roster. So if anyone is going to be mentally tough enough to deal with this 60-game sprint, I think it's this particular group of Dodger players and coaches and the manager, Dave Roberts. And again, they are absolutely stacked. You don't believe me? Believe the legend, Bill Plaschke on ESPN Radio.
This organization, I can't overstate the desperation it is to have a championship after all these failures. They're becoming the Atlanta Braves of the mid-90s, and they don't want to be that. And so they've really, this is a really answer to the fans. It's an answer to the critics, and it's, you know, it's an answer to their own clubhouse where players are wondering, what are they going to do? How are they going to go? They didn't get Bryce Harper. They didn't get Gerrit Cole. They didn't get guys they tried for. So this is a really huge, huge, I can't overstate how big this is and how important it is. And really, they can't blame management. Now, management has put together a championship team. This team is freaking loaded, so I just think it's going to be there. It's going to be the players' fault if they don't get this thing done.
Bergman, I know you got to be excited today, Dodger boy. But did I make you a little more excited? Did Plaschke make you more excited? Did Mookie make you more excited? Did Passan make you more excited?
I have not been this excited for an opening day in possibly my entire life. Just based on everything that we had, you know, 4 months of no sports, and we're finally getting sports tonight. The fact that the Dodgers are by far and away the best team in baseball and at basically every position, it feels like. And if one of those guys doesn't play well, oh, they got another guy that's a top 5 prospect in all of baseball that's going to just pop right up whenever you kind of need him. It's incredible what this Dodger team is doing for me, my psyche. I am so beyond excited for baseball today, and there's a Laker game happening at the same time. Today is a fantastic morning so far.
Laura, are you excited today? Are you feeling a little better? Again, it's not to take our eye off the prize. Obviously, the pandemic, social justice, all these things are still very much in play. But are you excited just to have a moment where you can just kind of be like, hey, life feels a little normal for a day?
Yes, I think that I woke up today and I said, today feels different. Today is going to be a great day, and we have baseball back. I'm super excited. I'm rocking my Dodger gear. I'm ready.
Let's go to the phones. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. KJ, what's up, KJ? You excited or what, man?
Unfortunately not. I'm excited for Mookie Betts, but Dodgers have been, like you said, I agree with some of your points that they're going to take the West, but they don't lose in the normal season. They always lose with Dave Roberts making bad choices with the pitching. That's what's been killing us the last 3 years. So I'm excited for the Dodgers, but like I said, They've always been heavy hitters, but we always lose it in the end with the pitching choices.
So KJ, that's what I'm concerned about. I think this year is different. This year's different. You can't be the negative Nancy right out of the gate.
How was it different from last year? They put Kershaw in and we lost it. See what I'm saying?
So but Walker, because you know why? Here's why. Walker Buehler is better than Kershaw at this stage of his life. Julio Urias is also excellent, maybe not as good as Kershaw yet. Okay. They've got the second best player in baseball. They've got two MVP candidates, for God's sake. They've got the potential Cy Young.
I totally agree with you, but what I'm saying is Dave Roberts makes some horrible choices when it comes down to pitching. When Bellinger was on a roll last year, he pulled him out, and Kershaw put Kershaw in, and they hit home runs and lost the game. That's what I'm saying.
KJ, you're bringing me down, KJ.
Hold on, KJ. You're forgetting one thing. The whistling and the trash cans are not there this time.
Yeah, that's true. Yes. The cheating Astros aren't there. At least, they are there, but they're not cheating. They can't. KJ, bringing us down. Keeping it real.
Today's not the day for negative.
Yeah, we can't have that negativity. Usually that's Greg in the show.
Seriously. When keeping it real goes wrong. And by the way, does Dave Roberts make that many horrible decisions? I mean, I don't think that's the case. Like, I feel like a lot. Look, here's what happens. Dave Roberts generally plays it by the book, which is the way you're supposed to do it. But then what happens is when you go by the gut, occasionally it will flop on you. You guys always complain. Like, Dave Roberts can't win. Whenever it's, he manages by the book too much. He should manage by feeling more. Then he manages by feeling. Why did he manage by feeling? Why didn't he just go by the book? The man can't win.
No, he can't. But here's the thing. There have been a lot of gut calls that he's made that have been the incorrect gut
calls. But that's my point, is that he needs to stop with the gut and listening to the critics and just do what he knows is right based on the book.
Fine. We'd be okay with that. If he's like, he went by the book, this was the right decision at the right time, you're fine with that. But a lot of the times when he goes by, this is what I think we should do, it ends up being the wrong. And with this team, if he doesn't win it, you're kind of in trouble.
All right. Well, KJ, you stay safe, stay healthy, and hopefully the Dodgers will prove you wrong. Speaking of the Dodgers, we'll talk to Tim Kirkchian, ESPN MLB insider, one of the best in the business, will join us in 90 seconds. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, opening day, 100 and some odd days later, but here it is, presented by Progressive Insurance. Get your home quote at progressive.com today. Tim Kirkchian, ESPN MLB insider, one of the best in the business, giving us the Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Tim, thank you so much for joining us. It is finally here, opening day. What has this been like for you? Someone who is as intertwined with the sport as anyone, how has this been for you, these 100 plus days, to get to this point?
Well, it's been really difficult, George, because I don't have a whole lot of interest. I really stink at everything. I've told you this, other than loving baseball and basketball. There's not much going on with me. So I didn't have much to do, but I did write for 101 straight days, this date in baseball history, and that kind of saved me, because otherwise I would have been even more lost than I was. I'm absolutely thrilled that we're playing baseball again. Seen every Columbo episode. I've seen every episode of The Office. I finally binge-watched it, and I'm tired of it. I need to watch a baseball game, and it all starts tonight.
The Office is an excellent show to binge-watch, though. I'm glad you finally caught on there, Kirkchian. Next, you got to go to Punxsutawney.
Hilarious. That's not the point. I need to watch something else.
I get it, but here's what you do during the off-season. Here's what I need you to do whenever we have an off-season again. Parks and Rec. That's your next assignment. You got that? Parks and Rec, same group, basically, that created The Office, created that show. You'll love it. Trust me. All right.
Ron Swanson, hilarious. I got it.
Okay, perfect. Mookie Betts, how surprised were you at the timing of the deal?
Yeah, I'm surprised at the timing. I'm not surprised at all that the Dodgers locked him up. I was relatively certain of that the minute they made that trade, that no matter what happened, they were going to get Mookie Betts long-term there, because they waited and waited and waited for the perfect guy to come along in a deal, and they got him. And there's just no way they were going to give up a couple players to get him, rent him for a year, and let him go. So I'm not surprised at all.
I am surprised at the timing, but I think the key is we have to get to the bottom, and I haven't done it yet, of exactly when this work was done. Was it done in spring training for the most part when, you know, pre-COVID, or is this post-COVID completely? And if so, that implies that maybe the free agent market will be a little bit more robust this winter, as opposed to this spring when no one knew this was coming and it was right in line with what Mookie Betts should be getting. The bottom line is he's a great player. He's going to be perfect for the Dodgers, and he'll be a great player for 10 more years.
When it comes to Andrew Friedman, Tim, he's not a guy who has seemed to have fancied these long-term deals. But again, to your point, because of who this player is and what he's done, do you believe that he was even remotely reluctant to give up, you know, a 13 or a 12-year extension? Because it just doesn't seem like it's the type of business he's been willing to do in the past.
Well, I think everyone would balk a little bit at 12 years, but you got to look at the athleticism of Mookie Betts. You got to look at the character and the work ethic, which is off the charts. And you got to look at Andrew Friedman. He's never done this before. The Rays never allowed anything close to this. And he showed incredible discipline in L.A. by not running out and getting the first big-time player in order to show everyone, look how much money I have to deal with here. But I know in the end, Dodgers ownership said, look, man, we got to win. Now go get the guy that's going to help us win. And Mookie Betts is that guy. And I repeat, it's hard to give anyone that kind of dough, but when he's an everyday player, he plays defense and runs like he does, and of course, hits like he does. That's the whole package there.
Tim Kirchin, ESPN MLB Insider with us here, friend of the program. We were talking about this yesterday when the deal was announced, Tim, is that how many years do you believe the Dodgers have to get out of Mookie Betts at near the top of his game for it to be a successful 13-year extension? What is the number?
Well, as you know, George, when you haven't won since 1988, and you've had 13 playoff appearances and no World Series in between, and that's a not historically high, but that's a really high number. Let's just say they get 5 great years out of Mookie Betts, and they win 2 World Series in that time. You know, in this day and age, with the dollars that the Dodgers have to deal with and are going to deal with for years to come, in my mind, 5 great years, 2 World Championships, that's going to be enough to justify the money that they gave him. This is how it works now. We judge teams on championships, we judge players on championships, and 2 championships in 5 years and 5 great years, that's enough for people to say, all right, we'll take it. And mainly because they haven't won in so long.
How good is this Dodgers team, Tim?
Well, it's clearly the best team in the National League. I don't even see a close second in the league. Their defense is really good. Their pitching is great. And they have potentially a historically good offense if Mookie Betts is as good as we think he can be. So this is baseball, George. The beauty of it is they clearly have the best team in the National League. And I think they're going to win the World Series. But in baseball, it doesn't work that way because, you know, Walker Buehler's not touching it on every possession, and neither is Cody Bellinger or Mookie Betts or Clayton Kershaw. But they have so much depth, so many resources, so much talent that, you know, they'll just wear you down in 162 games. And yes, a shorter season always benefits the best teams, but it doesn't benefit them as much. Because you can beat the Dodgers over a 60-game span, but no one in the National League can beat them over 162 because they'll just wear you down with everything that they have.
Tim Kirchin, ESPN MLB Insider with us here, friend of the program, one of the best in the business on opening day here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. As far as their pitching is concerned, is Walker Buehler their best pitcher now?
Yes, he's their best pitcher, but Clayton Kershaw is making his 9th opening day start. He's 7-1 with a 1.04 ERA, on opening day. That is a historically low ERA, the lowest ERA of anyone who's made eight or more opening day starts. He's absolutely dominated the Giants. I think it's 1.74 lifetime ERA against the Giants. He deserves to start on opening day. It's more than just symbolism. He is a really good pitcher still, but I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, Kershaw pitches opening day, but on game one of the World Series or the playoffs, it's going to be Buehler. If it's game seven, it'll be Buehler. But let's not, you know, do anything to put down Clayton Kershaw. He's just not as good as he was 5 years ago, but he's still really good.
If you were looking at something to nitpick on in regards to this particular roster, an area of concern, and again, I'm using that loosely, what would it be?
Well, I'm not positive what's going on at second base for them. I thought Gavin Lux would make the team and be the rookie of the year in a truncated season, but that's not going to be the case because he's not going to open the season with, we'll see what happens there. But it's really hard to nitpick after that because the catcher, Will Smith, got a chance to be really good. That outfield is wildly productive. And George, we just are going to marvel at Bellinger and Betts playing next to each other. The last time any team had two MVPs from the two previous years playing next to each other were Mantle and Maris, 61-62, so it would be the 63 season. That's how historic this is. So I have very, very little to quibble with. We'll see if Kenley Jansen's great. You know, he went through some COVID. He didn't have a great year last year. But those are small. Those are small potatoes for a team that's got a whole lot of talent.
What about getting to Kenley Jansen from the starting rotation? Like that bullpen, I know they sent down Tony Gonsolin. Look, they've got a wealth of riches. And they certainly righted the ship after a rough start early last season. But bullpens are so volatile, Tim. What are your thoughts on their bullpen?
Well, I think they'll have plenty of bullpen because they can take a leftover starter because they have enough starters, even without David Price. They can use a leftover starter and work him out of the bullpen. And you're right. We're going to see bullpens work more than ever during the 60 games because teams are going to be hesitant to take a star pitcher and overwork him, even though he should be fresher than ever because we're starting the season on July 23rd. But I think their bullpen is fine. I don't think it's great, but when you have great starting pitching, you can have just a good bullpen and still win the World Series.
All right, Tim, I'm going to go rapid fire here on some things. All right, what do you make of the universal DH? Do you like the universal DH?
Look, I like anything that gets the same set of rules in each league, and it's obvious that the universal DH will be a full-time, permanent baseball thing in a couple years. You might as well put it in now and stay with it.
What do you make of the runner on second base to start extras?
I hate it, and I hope it doesn't become permanent. But this year, in this strange, extraordinary year that we're going to go through, I don't care. Let's just get the guys back on the field. Let's see how this works. But I'm totally against it. It's not the right way to play the game.
All right. How about the three batter minimum for a reliever?
I'm totally against that also. But again, now is the time, George, to experiment. Now is the time to see if this stuff works. Maybe I'll be wrong. Maybe this stuff will be great. Or
right.
Maybe everyone will recognize this isn't good and we can't, you know, implement it next year or the year after. I'm against it. I haven't heard one manager who thinks it's a good idea.
All right, last one for you. Tim Kirkjian, ESPN MLB insider, historian of the game. If someone hits 400 this year, should that matter and count?
Well, I'm gonna bow to anyone who hits 400 in this day and age against the pitching they see. They're going to get a huge tip of the cap from me. But Ted Williams was the last guy to hit 400. It's, you know, virtually impossible to hit 400 over 60 games. To do it over 154 like Williams did, Ted Williams will be the last player to hit 400 for me.
There he is, Tim Kirkjian, ESPN MLB insider, one of the best in the business. Timmy, you are the best. Enjoy today and save Parks and Rec for the offseason. We love you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, George. See you.
See you. Take care. There he is, Tim Kirkjian with us here on the Sedano Show on 710 ESPN. All right, coming up next, Uh-oh, some questions about the Clippers? What? We'll get to that in just a second here on opening day. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN. Thanks to Tim Kirkjian for stopping by there. All presented by Progressive Insurance. And our guests like Tim appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Clint Yates will stop by at 1040. So in about 8 minutes, we'll talk to Clinton. Short segment here. Couple of things for you, Bergman. You were just telling me, I was saying, you know, because the games start today at 4 o'clock, right? We have the Yankees game.
Yeah.
We have that on our air?
Yes, we are running the Yankees game versus the Nationals in D.C.
What happens if it's rained out? Do like Mason and Ireland just pop on?
Yes. So I've been. That was what I was working on all this morning, was seeing that it's possible that it's rained out. Yes, Mason and Ireland, or at least Mason and Brian Kamenetsky, will be ready to go if it is rained out. Officially rained out.
It would be very 2020 for the first game of Major League Baseball to be rained out, right? And just be postponed.
You wouldn't expect anything less.
I mean, for the love of God, can we get anything? You know? I mean, jeez.
We're not allowed to have nice things, George.
Good Lord. It's incredible, for the love of God. Anyway, I want to talk to you about the Clippers here real quick, because I feel like you were very, very, very – you and Laura both, actually. Even Ramona, to some extent, was stumped at this question I asked yesterday. But and I'll ask the question in a second. But have you noticed – the questions have started to arise about the are starting to arise about the Clippers. I mean, they've got Pat Bev. Now, my understanding is Pat Bev will be back by the time the games start, but he's not available right now. Montrezl Harrell, right, is out at the moment dealing with a family matter, just like Pat Bev. Landry Shamet is dealing with COVID, right, if I recall correctly. And Zubats isn't with the team either. Marcus Morris is just arriving. Now, it was nice to see the Clippers and everyone really just play basketball yesterday. I was really excited about that. But, I mean, look, Pat Bev and Harrell are two big pieces to the puzzle, right? Like, if those guys aren't available, and again, I'd be stunned if they're not, but if they're not available, then, you know, that changes the dynamics a little bit, doesn't it, Greg?
Yeah, it absolutely does. It's kind of like if we didn't have Avery Bradley and Dwight Howard, or even probably on a hot, I think those actually work out between the two of them. It would be the same thing. Not having both of those changes the whole dynamic of the team. Now the Lakers have a lot of depth to fix for Bradley, but if we lost Dwight Howard at the same time, we talked about it a bunch that would have been a loss that would have really hurt the team.
Yeah.
So them losing Harrell and Pat Bev, I think even on a higher scale for them.
Yeah,
worse.
Because Pat Beverly is kind of Kawhi is their best defender. No one would deny that. But it's not like Patrick Beverly is also a top 10 defender in this league. You know what I'm saying? So it's like losing someone like that hurts. And Montrezl Harrell's the sixth man of the year, as far as I'm concerned. So again, I don't think they're losing those guys, but not having them around. And the whole point was, right, like, oh, wow, they get a little bit of a restart and a reboot and they can kind of work on their chemistry again. And not having those guys around, that could affect them just a little bit. So I saw that and I thought about it yesterday, and I'm like, because Rachel was talking about it on The Jump yesterday with Brian Windhorst. I was like, you know, I didn't really think about that. Like, depending on how long those absences are going to be, that could be something that could be a little stressful for the Clippers and certainly the Clipper fan base and the organization.
Yeah, Pat Beverly, I mean, I've watched games with Pat Beverly where he's changed the entire complexity of the game because he's just being a dog on defense and shutting guys down. He did it to Lonzo Ball a couple years ago in that first game, remember?
Oh, my God. He ate his lunch.
Right. Totally took Lonzo out of that game completely, and it was just a destruction from then on. I mean, the team wasn't all that great anyway, but still. He did it to
LeVar. And
LeBron.
It was LeVar's fault. LeVar's fault. LeVar, I mean, Pat Bev said it after, basically. Ripped LeVar.
Right, and then he did it to LeBron earlier this year where he knocked the
ball out of
LeBron's
hand.
The
Christmas game, yeah.
Yeah, which was, I mean, still just a god-awful call. But either way, he still was – the way that he defends guys and gets in their face and just completely changes how they like to work their game, it changes everything. So not having Pat Beverly, geez.
Yeah, not ideal, that's for sure. So yesterday we were talking about super teams. Remember the bubble kind of creating a super team, and Ramona thinks that'll happen. I did notice there's a super team forming in the movie industry. For the first time since they starred together in the Pelican Brief, Co-stars Denzel Washington and Julia Roberts will be in a new movie together. And it got me thinking, like, is that the best superstar male-female super team movie pairing that you could come up with?
I mean, for a little bit more of an older school vibe, yeah, pretty much. I mean, if you're looking for more of the newer school kind of thing, Leonardo DiCaprio is a little bit older, but when Leonardo DiCaprio and Margot Robbie were together in Wolf of Wall Street, that was pretty strong.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, Margot Robbie is everywhere.
She is everywhere. She is everywhere. Margot Robbie is a big, big star. Laura, what do you think? Do you think that Denzel and Julia, that's the biggest pairing, or do you have one that you think could top that?
I have one, but I don't think they've been in movies together.
No, they don't have to have been in a movie together.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So I would love to see Leonardo DiCaprio and your pass of a woman.
Oh, Natalie Portman, yes. And Leo. I would love that. Would be tremendous. That's a good one. I think that tops yours, Bergman.
I mean, everybody.
Obviously, it does for you, Laura. Really?
I mean, Margot Robbie is a great actress, but you're going to compare it to Natalie Portman as an actress, really?
I mean, we got difference of opinions here. Where it all goes?
No,
I
think Natalie Portman is a more decorated actress than Margot Robbie is.
Absolutely, but Natalie Portman is a fantastic actress. She's beautiful. She's smart. She's funny. She does everything. I'm just more of a Margot Robbie guy. In every sense.
All right. We'll ask the audience to chime in if they'd like at 877-710-ESPN. We'll ask Clinton Yates, who will join us in a second. And I got the question for you, the question that stumped you both. Did you sleep well last night, both of you?
No, I was tossing and turning over this, having to know that I was going to have to answer it again.
Yeah.
Laura? Same here.
Yeah. I asked the question, and I'll ask Clinton, and I'll ask the audience on the phones next. What would hurt more? The Lakers being eliminated in the playoffs, which means probably eliminated by the Clippers, or the Clippers winning a championship. Because remember, technically, the Clippers could eliminate the Lakers, and they could lose.
That changes things.
Yeah, but you didn't say that yesterday. You added that.
No. But the question, I'm just playing it out. But the question is very simple. What would hurt more, the Lakers being eliminated or the Clippers winning a championship? It's a very simple question. It actually struck a chord with O'Shea Jackson Jr., who wanted to call in the last 2 minutes yesterday, and he's calling in at 11:30 today to answer this question. But we'll ask Clinton Yates that and you guys in less than 4 minutes. Sedano with you here on 710 ESPN, presented by our friends at Pennzoil Synthetic Motor Oils, made from natural gas, giving you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil. And our friends at Nature Valley Crunchy Bars. Whether you're taking on the trails or your terrace or your deck or your dock even, Nature Valley Crunchy Granola Bars will help you make the most of your outdoor time, because a crunchy bar tastes like summer wherever you are. Clinton Yates joins us now here on the show, as he does every Thursday at around 10:40, a little late today because, I don't know, the breaks were a little longer in this segment. But either way, Clinton, hello, how are you, sir?
What's up, kiddos? What were you guys arguing about? What was Greg getting on y'all that forced you all to mess up the segments? I feel like I know what happened.
So we were talking about a couple of things. So we were talking about a question that I posed at the end of the show yesterday that I've posed again today, and I'd like to get your answer on. What do you think will hurt more in Los Angeles? If the Lakers are to be eliminated in the playoffs, or if the Clippers actually win the championship?
The third option there is not the Lakers being eliminated by the Clippers.
Well, no, that is a very real possibility if the Lakers are eliminated.
Because that's maximum pain,
correct.
Obviously.
Yes.
I think that's maximum pain almost on top of if the Clippers just won it without ever getting to the Lakers. I think that, because I tell you this all the time, the people who talk about the Clippers the most are Laker fans. If that were the case, that the Clippers were to eliminate the Lakers specifically, it wouldn't even matter what happened with the Clippers. That would be the worst case scenario for Payne, for sure.
Yeah, I agree wholeheartedly. I don't think there's any question about it. And then the other thing we were talking about was, and there's people that want to chime in on this on the calls, so we'll get to them here in a second, you and I, Clinton, and the crew here. But the other question was, I saw that Julia Roberts and Denzel Washington are doing a movie together, and it's the first time they'll be in a movie together since The Pelican Brief. They're going to star in a Netflix thriller called Leave the World Behind. And, you know, you're talking about two of the most accomplished actors of our time, right, of this generation. And it's cool to have them reunited. So I asked the crew here, like, if you could pair any two actors, a male, female, to form a super team, since we believe that a super team will probably form in the bubble, right? If you could form your movie super team, a la Denzel and Julia, who would you form?
Well, you had no way of knowing this, George, but here's the deal. The Pelican Brief, there's a critical scene in that movie that was actually filmed at the school I went to my whole life.
And get
the
day
that movie
here.
Came, listen to me, the day that movie came out, the entirety of my middle school went down to Uptown Movie Theater on Connecticut Avenue in D.C. Everybody sat in the balcony, and when that thing showed up on the screen, the place went nuts because the entire school was there. It was on the front of the paper the beginning of the next school year with my middle school principal with a picture with Denzel Washington on the front. So, yeah, it's absolutely not going to be anybody other than Denzel and Julia Roberts. I'm sticking with that right now because okay. I want to see what comes of that. The Pelican Brief is, for that reason, one of my favorite movies of all time.
Okay, fair enough.
The scene where they go to the mental hospital to check her brother, that entire facility is a school that I went to.
Wow, that's tremendous. I had no idea. That's awesome. That's just hilarious. So I was arguing that I would like to see Leo and my girl Natalie Portman. I don't know if you know this, but Natalie Portman is the one. You know what I'm saying? Like Mrs. Sedano knows that's the one. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I got picked up what you were putting down.
You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, Natalie's going to be there. So Greg is a Margot Robbie guy. And I'm like, look, you know, no disrespect to Margot Robbie, who's a very, very accomplished actress, right? And mm-hmm. she's beautiful as well. You know, but, you know, Natalie's got a special place in my heart. Not only beautiful, unbelievably talented, more decorated as an actress than Margot. Also Harvard educated, right? Like, I think there's a lot of qualities here about
so
Natalie.
Now I know why we were late on the breaks, Greg, because this guy could not stop extolling the virtues of one Natalie Portman. Question answered. Noted. Yeah.
So Devel Jameson, who tweets me and says they're both good actresses, but Margot has more range as an actress as Natalie. Duvel, you will be my first block on Twitter. How about that? That's how this will work from now on. All right, let's go to the phones. 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Let's go to Art in Whittier. You're on with me and Clinton. What's up, Art?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, bud.
What's up?
And you know what? As far as the two actors together, I think like Jack Nicholson and Meryl Streep, that would be perfect. Talk about being decorated, you know.
Jack did a movie with Diane Keaton, right? He did
that with Keanu Reeves too.
Yeah.
What was that movie called?
As far as the Lakers go, you know,
old people want to have sex, basically. Yeah, something like that.
I was gonna say the same thing. Cutting turtlenecks and climbing stairs. That's all I remember from that movie. sorry. Go on.
As far as the Lakers go, it would hurt me a million times more if they didn't make the playoffs. I didn't give a crap about the Clippers.
You're saying if they get eliminated. They're making the playoffs.
After that, basketball wouldn't matter to me anymore. So
that's it? It stopped? It would stop on its axis, the basketball world? Yeah. Okay.
I don't care about the Clippers. That's it.
Okay. All right. Art, thank you for the call. Stay healthy. Stay safe. It is funny, Clinton, because Lou Will the other day, I saw this on The Jump. He said that he not only does he want to win because he wants to win a championship, but he says that he would love to hear on his parade route that they would actually boo him. He thinks that would be a thing. Although with a pandemic, they may not get a parade, which would also be very unbrand with the poor Clippers.
That would be hilarious if the Clippers won the whole thing and could not have a parade and all of LA just showed up to laugh at them like online virtually. That would be pretty funny. I'm not going to lie. That actually, I know the Clippers get a lot of hate, and I don't have a problem with that, but it's always funny to me, like I said, but that would actually make me laugh, for sure.
Let's go to Ben. Ben, what's going on? What do you got?
Hey, George. How's it going, guys?
Hey, bud.
What's up?
So for the actors and actresses, I would definitely go with you guys and Natalie and Leo, but I called in because I wanted to talk about the last caller that called in about Dave Roberts.
Oh, KJ. Yeah, he was killing Dave Roberts. Yeah.
Everybody is ripping this guy when I feel they would have a completely different opinion if they win that World Series. If the Dodgers win that World Series, everybody lets up.
Sure. If the Astros didn't cheat, yes, you're right. Yes, it would be different.
They have to remember that the Astros cheated him out of it. So that's what I have to say. And, Greg, get over the Universal DH. Now, because you're going to save yourself a lot of trouble later when you're all for it, when Justin Turner or Max Muncy hit a game-winning home run in the DH spot.
Yeah. Thank you, Ben. Stay healthy. Stay safe.
It's going to be Max Muncy because Justin Turner will be on the field.
Yeah, for sure. I also always love the drive-by swipe at Greg by the callers, just addressing you and me. Oh, by the way, Greg, I'm going to swipe you on the way out. And by the way, Greg, I didn't even ask you, what did you make about Tim Kirkjian saying that we should just get used to the Universal DH because it's going to be coming pretty soon?
Look, I'll get used to it when it's actually there, just because I'm going to have to, because there's no choice over it. But Tim Kurkjian doesn't like the universal DH. He just knows that it's coming.
So he did not say he didn't like it. He said he didn't like the other stuff, but he didn't say that.
He's been on before and said that he hates the universal DH, but he understands that it's coming.
That quickly went from doesn't like it to hates. Yes. That was a 1 second pivot.
Yes. Well, which, however you want to look at it. Hate is a much easier word to say and make it sound better. All right.
Fair enough. I don't love it. Like I said before, I think it should be an option. I think you should come to the ballpark that day and you should have the choice.
Right.
And you could maybe just throw off the other team. Just a spot day. Oh, guess what? Your pitcher's hitting today. Deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody would ever really do that often. But the one or two times they did, it would be hilarious. That's what I would do.
All right, so we got a full board of calls that people want to weigh in on the opening day. People want to weigh in on this question about the Lakers and Clippers, which is what would hurt more, the Lakers being eliminated in the postseason or the Clippers actually winning a championship? And, of course, our super team of actors and actresses, your combo of actors and actresses. Clint Yates is going to hang out with us for another segment, of course. I want to talk to you specifically about opening day and just kind of Major League Baseball. We'll get to that in a second. And, of course, what's what you need to know, which includes Clinton's favorite football team and their name change. We'll get to that in a second. More of your calls, more with Clinton and I, coming up in 2.5 minutes.